Well, it's the Christmas season, and I'm not much of a seasonal type preacher. It seems like it puts pressure on me if I think I have to preach on Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving message. Seems like that kindly pressures me a little bit, because basically all I know how to do is just try to find God and preach what He gives me. And then when I seem to limit Him at, or I want to stay in a particular area, it makes it a little more difficult. But I do believe this. I believe as I have gotten older, it's right to preach a Christmas message at Christmas and an Easter message at Easter. I think it's the right thing, because that's where God's people's mind is at, and that's what they're thinking of. And so as we come to the Christmas story, I think about so much I think about when we think about the Christmas story, just the few characters that are, or maybe I should say the many characters if you consider the heavenly host. But there was Elizabeth and Zacharias and Mary and Joseph. They knew what was going on. And then we'll see the shepherds are going to find out what's going on. And then we come down to Simeon and Anna, and they know what's going on. And really, there's not a whole lot of people there. There's a lot of people that's been told, but there's not a whole lot of people that really grasp what's taking place. That's much like the world we live in today. There's a lot of people that, I don't know, I think probably the truth is going out is maybe in as big a way as it's ever went out, but I think there's fewer people truly hearing what's being said. That's just, I don't have anything to prove that with. That's just my, maybe my thinking on that. But I want to preach on the angels and the shepherds. I want to look at the shepherds for a little while this morning. And all those people I mentioned, Elizabeth and Zacharias and Joseph and Mary, they were very godly people. They were just top notch people. The wise men, I failed to mention them, but they come on the scene maybe a year or so later, and two later, and they no doubt were godly people. And you know, Simeon and Anna were godly people. But it seems these shepherds, and I don't know, I'm preaching to you many of the commentators say, but they say that from a religious standpoint, the shepherds were looked down upon. They were out in the fields, and they couldn't be faithful to the house, to the temple services. I started to say the house of God, and I guess that'd been right too. They couldn't really keep the ceremonial laws and all the cleansings that the law demanded, and so they were kind of looked down, wasn't considered to be much as far as people go. But as we come to verse 8, let me just read verse 8 through 20. The Bible says this: "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Let me read verse 17 again. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad this saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And so we see here is the shepherds. And here's what struck me odd. These who are considered maybe the less spiritual, really they were considered, they were looked upon as sinners. And here is the Lord, or God, let me say that, gave His message concerning the birth of Jesus to these shepherds. He gave it to them first. It seemed like it should have went somewhere else, but many times God speaks and uses the lowly. Fact of the matter, I believe that's how God works. He uses the, well, who was it opened up? Somebody read 1 Corinthians 1 this morning. Was that you? Many times God uses the lowly. In the parable of the Great Supper in Luke 14, the Bible says in verse 21, so that servant came and shewed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the cities and bring in the rich and the famous and those who can put a lot of money in the offering plate. That's not what the Scripture says. Here's what it says, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Aren't you glad the Lord cares for the nobodies of life? Really, that's, and I don't want to insult you, but really that's what we are. We're just the nobodies of life. But I'm glad the Lord cares for us like He does the rich and the famous. Aren't you? Amen. And here's some little shepherds that the religious world looks down on. And the religious world belittles. And some commentators will say they're godly shepherds. I tend to think probably they were struggling people like many of them were looked at. Or as they were looked at by many. And here's these little shepherds out there, and they don't make it to the feast days, and they don't go through all the rituals that the religious crowd's going through. But I'm glad the Lord loved them. I'm thankful for that. And if you're here and you're lost this morning, I want to say to you, the Lord loves you. He cares about you. And so here they are. First Corinthians tells us the same thing. Our Lord doesn't call many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak things to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and things which are despised and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. You know why that is? That no flesh should glory in His presence. Well, and so God comes to these lowly shepherds first, and He reveals truth to them. He reveals truth. God makes the first move in communicating to man the message of hope and grace. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful it wasn't you who first had to call out on God? But God, some way in His grace and His love and His mercy, came where you were when you were a sinner and cared nothing about God, did not seek after God. These shepherds wasn't seeking after God or a message from God. They're just out there living their life, doing their thing. What they did day after day after day, making a living, going through the things of life. And one day, God showed up in their life. I don't know about you, but I'm glad one day God showed up in my life. I wasn't looking for Him, but He was looking for me. My, say glory to His name. Glory to His name. Getting way ahead of where I want to get to. God communicates with man. Sinner, let me just say this to you. You may be like these shepherds. You may be in darkness. Let me say, I believe one verse it says it was night. Keeping watch over their flock by night. It's a dark night. And sinner, that's where you're at if you're not saved. You're in darkness. That's right, you're in darkness. And the devil's got you deceived. He's got you thinking everything's all right. And you're living a good life and you don't need God. But here's what's going to happen to you one day. A God who loves you so much. That He gave His only begotten Son so you could have life. You all wouldn't give your child for nobody. There's a God in heaven give His child for His enemies. I say, what a God. What a God we have. Here's what's going to happen to you, sinner. One of these days, God's going to come to you and He's going to... And it's not going to be a visible light. I don't want you to think that. But He's going to shine a light on your life and wake you up, and He's going to communicate with you. And He's going to make it real in your life that you're lost. And when He does, that's when you need a Savior. That's when you need to be saved. Let me say it like that. And so here they are. They're just out there on the fields, and they're just living life. They're just doing what shepherds do. My, and all of a sudden God shows up. Do you know that's the way it was with Zacharias and Elizabeth? That's the way it was with Mary. Mary's just living life. She's a spouse to Joseph or engaged to Joseph to be married. She wasn't saying, let me be the mother of Jesus. She's just living her life, doing her things, making her plans for the future. And all of a sudden, God showed up in her life. That's the way it is with you, sinner. I just want to drive that home. One day God's going to speak to you. You better listen when He does. And so God communicates. We see in this text that God initiates communication with man. And why is that? Why is that? Here's why. God wants man to have truth. Chad, you said in Sunday school this morning, God wants you to have truth. You folks that ride the van, you young folks that ride the van, God wants you to have truth. That's how it is. You young folks that your mom and daddies make you come to church, God wants you to have truth. He desires that you have truth. God wants man to have truth. Why? Why does He care? Can I tell you why? Because He loves you. And because He loves you, He does care. He cares about you. And because He loves you, He doesn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want you to go to hell. Why did He come to those shepherds? And maybe I'm typing them as a sinner this morning. He did not want them to go to hell. He wanted to give them hope. He wanted to bring light to them in a dark world they were living in, don't you see? And that's what the Lord's birth is all about. That's what this Christmas is about. It's not about how many presents you get. You know that. I'm not telling this church anything they don't know. This is about God's gift to us. It's about what God, who loved us so much, gave us that unspeakable gift. That gift that fits everybody. You give a gift, you don't know if they'll appreciate it or not, or if it's something they use or they can, and many people fret over what to get and what not to get. But I'm telling you, when God gave man Jesus that unspeakable gift, it's a gift everybody can use. It's a gift everybody needs. It's a gift that brings joy in everybody's life if you'll just receive it. I know I'm just kind of shotgun preaching this morning, but let me try to get back to the text. God loves man. He wants him to have truth because he does love him. And he cares about him because he loves him. He doesn't want him to go to hell. That's why he gave us a Bible. You ever wonder why we have a Bible? It's so the Lord wants us to have truth. He wants us to know what's right. That's why when you get saved, he moves to the Holy Spirit inside. You know what he said about the Holy Spirit? He'll guide you into all truth. He'll guide you into all truth. How these folks get all confused on doctrinal truth, and I think it's because they adhere to the precepts and the traditions of their forefathers instead of the Word of God. But if you'll get in this Word of God, and when God reveals truth to you, if you'll obey it, the Holy Spirit will lead you in the right way. He'll lead you into truth. And so that's why we have a Bible and the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's what the church of the living God's all about. You know what Paul said to young Timothy? The church is the pillar and ground of what? The truth. This thing is about truth. What do you think the Great Commission's all about? It's getting truth to a lost and a dying world. God wants man to have truth. And so here's these shepherds, and they're just living life, doing their thing. And here's what I said, well, why did God go to them first instead of somebody else? And all I could come up with, just the grace of God. Just the grace of God. Why was it I was born in a Christian home instead of the deep jungles of Africa? Can I just say to you, just the grace of God's all I know. No good in me. I'm probably worse than some of them folks in the deep jungles of Africa. But God graced me in some way, let me get a hold of truth and save my unworthy soul. Why? No good reason. If you analyze my life, you can find no good reason why God sought me out. There is none. You say, well, he wanted you to preach and he knew you'd be this. I'm nothing. I couldn't preach not one iota unless God helped me. Anything I am, any goodness in my life, anything you see and say, my, that's a good man. Hey, it's not me. It's God living in my life. That's all it is. My thought ends in your life. Paul said, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's why we're all on the same level. Don't you understand we're all the same? There's no big I's and little U's in God's work, in God's eyes. We're all no good. And so here's these shepherds. And God just came to them. And can you not look at your life and just see the grace of God? How he just put you somewhere or let certain people cross your path or allowed you to hear a certain message or just came to you and troubled your unworthy soul about being saved. And here's all we can say. What a good God to visit us. That's where the shepherds are. Here's the shepherds. And God just showed up. They're just, I've already said, just doing their job, living life, doing what they always did, day after day and night after night. But God showed up. And then here's what he said, and here's what amazes me. Here's what amazes me. The angel comes to him and said, I bring good tidings. I'm in verse 10. I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so this angel had a message, and this message was a good message. It's a good message. And the message brings great joy. And sinner, you don't know this, but if you ever get saved, it brings great joy to your life. Let me just say it to you. There ain't nothing like being saved. There's not anything like being saved. You might say, I've got some worldly friends, and we do this, and we do that. My, we have so much fun. Can I tell you, it don't even compare to the Holy Spirit when it gets to stirring and moving in our life. And so here he is, and he says, I have good tidings of great joy, and that are for all people. There shall be to all people. Now, the message they're getting ready to hear is a message for all people. Do you know the gospel's never out of place anywhere that it's preached? Never out of place. You know why? It's for all people. Amen. For all people. You might be sitting here and say, it's not for me. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it is for you. It is for you. And so there was a message in verse 11. We see the message, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now here's what I started thinking about. Way back in Genesis 3:15, that's the first messianic prophecy. Here's what said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That was 4,000 years ago. When the angel's speaking to the shepherd, that's 4,000 years ago. And all down, I just started thinking about all down through time, you know, Abraham's, the promises made to Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, and all the Israelites, all the types in the law. And I guess they kept wondering when. You go to Isaiah and Jeremiah and read about all of them. Here's what they say. He's coming. 4,000 years, they're saying this. He's coming. And people saying he's... No doubt, Brother Ronnie, it's like me and you talk. We always thought we'd live to see the rapture. Well, it looks like maybe we won't. Maybe not. But I guess in 4,000 years, they probably said the same thing. He's going to come in our lifetime. He's going to be born. Hey, Isaiah said he's coming. He'll be. I've just got a feeling in my soul that the Savior's going to be here before I die. That's what old Simeon thought. He got to see it, didn't he? He's looking for the consolation of Israel. And I suspect there's been a lot of Simeons over that 4,000 years looking for it. But can I tell you, one day the angel appeared to the shepherd, and he didn't say he's coming. Here's what he said. He's here. He's born. And can I just tell you, I know that's the first coming, but the Bible teaches us he's coming again. He ain't come yet. But one of these days, he's going to say, come up hither, and surely somebody will say, he's here. He's here. He's coming in. My, we're not looking for him. He's already come. That's where they're at. Here's the shepherds, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they've heard about the consolation of Israel, the coming Messiah. Maybe they'd heard about it, but you know how you do? You get calloused in life. You just start living life and all them promises grow cold to you. You're not really, maybe they wasn't really looking for him. But the angel said, I've got a message of great joy. He came and he's coming again. And my, it ought to bring some joy to somebody's heart. And I don't know when, but I know he's coming. That's right. And I know he came. I know that. And so, I know I'm not preaching the text much, but you just bear with me a little bit. And so here they are. In verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior. Here's what he tells those shepherds. You've got someone that's come to earth, and he's going to save you. He's a Savior. He can save you. He can save you. Aren't you glad we've got a Savior? They tell me that word Savior covers everything. Redeemer and propitiator and all them things that he does. That one word Savior covers it all. I don't know if that's so or not, but I've read that. But here's what I'm glad of. I have a Savior. And I want to just take it a step farther. I'm glad if I get in financial trouble, I have a Savior. I'm glad if I have family trouble, I've got one who can save our family. I'm glad he can save us from hell. But I'm glad he can save us from the situations and the problems and the troubles that we encounter in life. He can save us from us. He's a Savior. That's what he is. If you look over in David's gospel, he'll talk a lot how the Lord saved him. What he's really talking about is from events where his enemies trying to destroy him, and God just saved him from it. He's not every time talking about being saved from hell. And so here's what the angel said. Here's what the angel said. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ." That's the anointed one. That's the Messiah. That's the one that's been predicted from Genesis 3 down through the Scriptures, which is Christ the Lord. And then he says this to him, it probably didn't make a lot of sense to him. "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Here's how our Savior came in a way that people didn't think he would come. I guess some thought he would come as a king. Maybe as a general or a military is the word, some sort of military leader is going to rescue Israel. But here's how our Savior come. He come in the, as far as the flesh goes, he came in the weakest way anyone could possibly come to earth, as a babe. A little baby can't do anything for himself. Now, I know he's still God, but that's how he manifested his presence on planet Earth, as a babe. And swaddling clothes. They tell me that's just strips of clothing that the mama would wrap around the baby's legs and baby's arms to keep them warm. And here's the message. They said you'll find him in a manger. I don't know what the shepherds thought, but I do know this. They believed it. It may not have sounded right to them that the Savior, the Son of God, the Savior of Israel would come that way, but they believed what the angel told them. And by the way, isn't it amazing this angel's telling this story, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but the angels in heaven got so excited they had to get in on it. I think about this. I wonder how interested the angels in heaven are about what's going on in earth. I just wonder. I don't know how much they know, but they're sitting here listening to this angel give this story, and all of a sudden they just have to say something too. They can't hold it back any longer. Have you ever been like that? Sometimes around here, it gets so good, folks just can't hold it back. They just have to testify. They just have to say, that's where the angels were.
My, they've heard something that stirred their soul so that they just have to, they have to just break out in praise to God. That's where they're at. Here's the little shepherds. They're just sitting here. Our Savior was born in poverty and fleshly weakness. And He was born to a world that had no room for Him. Y'all know, you've heard all kinds of messages about no room for Jesus. You picked up on that. But can I just tell you, the world really don't have room for Jesus. They don't have room for Him now. If He were to come this very day and walk on this earth and carry out a ministry, this world never miss a beat. It'd stay right on track. Things would go just like it's going now. You know why? Nobody has room for Jesus. Now let me just make it a little more personal. Many of God's people don't have room for Jesus. Schedule won't allow it. Busyness of life won't allow them to have time for Jesus. Isn't that sad? It's sad to me my Savior had to be placed in a manger because there's no room in the inn. That's sad to me. But it's just as sad when you look at the world has no room for Jesus. They don't even know who they're leaving out of their life. They don't even know. They don't even have a clue what they're leaving out of their life. Our Savior was born in poverty and fleshly weakness to the world that had no room for Him. Doesn't seem right, but it was God's way. Doesn't seem like how it ought to be. The angel told them there'll be sign. Verse 13, these angels just burst out with praising God, saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men, toward men. And it came to pass, verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, they began to talk about the message they've heard. They doesn't just go out the door of the church and start living life again. They start talking about this message. They're talking to each other about it. And here's what they said. Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And so they talked among themselves, and it seems to me the text is implying unity. Here's what they said. Let's go. Let's go see. Let's find out about this Jesus. Here's what they did. They acted on the message they had heard. Now here's where we're at. We're hearers, but we're not doers. Now what if they had said, man, that's a good message. Man, that angel preached good. We're going to stay here with the sheep. Can I just tell you, they would have missed out. They would have missed out on being used by God. And that's where we're at. Chad, you hit it on the head this morning. We like the promises, but we don't like the commands, do we? We like the promises. We don't like, here's the shepherds, and really, I think probably they wasn't what they ought to be. They're when we see them, they're in darkness, and the Lord comes to them, but they talk about it, and they say, we want no more. We're going to go see this thing. They acted on, they had some unity, but they acted on what they had. And can I just say this? Jesus took a priority over the flock. I know we talk about they always left the keeper with the sheep, but it sure don't look like they did in this case. Here's what they said. Our job is to watch that sheep, but this is more important to know Jesus. This is more important. It's more important than a few sheep. Well, what might happen to the sheep? We don't know, but this is important right here. This needs to have a priority in our life. That's what they did. Is Jesus number one in our lives? Does he have first place? I can't answer it for you. You have to answer that. They put Jesus first. Then I've got about 8 or 10 of these little points, and I'll just give them to you quickly. They were interested in knowing more about Jesus. They did not procrastinate. Here's what they said, let us now go. Here's what procrastination does. It makes the demands of God grow more dim. Here's what you said many times. When I get home, I'm going to repent of what the preacher preached on. But you get home, and that desire in your heart to be right with God is gone. It's gone. Yeah, am I not preaching it right? You know what you've done? You've procrastinated, and the Holy Spirit's quit dealing with your heart. It happens to us. They didn't procrastinate. They said, let us go now. They didn't question God's ministry. They believed God's word. They shouldered their God-given responsibility placed on them. Now, did the angel tell them to go see Jesus? Notice, let me see, verse 12. It's an implied truth. It says that ye shall find the babe wrapped. To say that ye shall find insinuates that they were to go look for him. Would you agree with that? Sometimes God doesn't just demand it of you, but based on what his word says, you know that's what you ought to do. And so here they are, and he says, the angel said, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So they knew they were supposed to go look for him. And so they shouldered the responsibility that was placed on them. They redeemed their time. They came with haste. I could just take time and preach every one of these. They experienced success. When you obey God, God will bless your efforts. Maybe not the way you want it. You want to see it, but God. You know what he promised me about preaching? That the word would not return void. It won't. It just won't return void. He'll bless your efforts. And then, after they saw him, they told others about him. Here's the shepherds, and verse 17 says, and when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What they learned, they told others. And I'm just going to say this to you, and you know, everything I've said, you probably know. But revealed truth to you brings responsibility for you to pass it on to others. And that's what they did. And then I want you to look in verse 20, and I'll skip over Mary there. There's so much we could say about Mary. But in verse 20, the shepherds returned. Life resumed. But it was different now. They're glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen. I remember when I first got saved, what a glorious life, what a happy. Nobody could probably really tell it on the outside, but what a happy, wonderful life. How good life was to me for about a month or two until the devil. I think the Lord just kept the devil off of me for a little while. He started placing doubt in my life. rather quickly. But my, can I just say to you, sinner, the Christian life's the happiest, the most joyous. I don't know if that's good. Well, it's not good English, but it's the greatest life there is. That's all I know to say. Here they are. They're back in the fields in verse 20, but they're glorifying and praising God. Praising God for what they've known and what they've seen and what God's done in their heart. And here's what I'm saying. That's what it's all about. That's what this season's about. He came to seek and to save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners, He loves you and He'll save you if you allow Him to. But you're going to have to act on the Word. When He deals with you, you're going to have to respond. You have a part, and that's to obey. To obey. Let's bow our heads this morning. Just a verse of a song. Maybe you're here. You're unsaved. Some way or another, through my little feeble effort, God spoke to your heart. Why don't you respond to Him today? Let Him save you. Receive Him as your Savior while she plays.